Do you ever find yourself dealing with physical tension or pain that just seems, well, stuck, like a knot that won't untangle no matter what you try?
Or maybe that feeling of being emotionally heavy, kind of blocked, but you can't quite put your finger on why.
It's such a common thing. We tend to think of physical issues and, you know, our emotional states as separate categories.
Linked, maybe, but fundamentally different things.
Right. But what if that connection is way deeper? What if the body isn't just affected by our emotions, but it's actually storing the imprint of our experiences?
Maybe things like trauma, storing it physically.
Exactly. That's the core idea we're getting into in this deep dive. We're looking at some fascinating sources discussing integral psychoorthopedics and integral trauma therapy.
And these sources, they propose methods based on this really interesting premise that your body holds information about your past, literally.
And that working with the body, sometimes in ways that might seem a bit unusual, can really influence your psyche, unlock healing potential.
Yeah, deep potential for healing and integration. So our mission today is really to dive into these ideas.
Let's unpack the concepts, see what's in this material.
And explore the surprising insights they might offer about healing, especially when we put the body front and center.
Okay, let's unpack it. The starting point for these sources, it seems, is this idea of embodiment.
Right, which is gaining traction in cognitive science, too. The idea that consciousness isn't just brain stuff, it needs a body.
Yeah, but these sources, they seem to take that connection, like, way further.
They really do. They build on embodiment to put forward this central idea that emotions, and maybe significant mental or emotional events, these overloads of consciousness, if they're not fully processed,
they don't just stay psychological.
No, they can become physically stored, like right within the body itself.
You mean held in muscles, connective tissue, fascia, yeah. Maybe even scars?
Precisely. The sources suggest these unintegrated experiences can show up as actual physical patterns. Tension, restriction, in those very tissues.
Okay, that part makes a certain kind of intuitive sense.
But here's where it gets really intriguing, according to this material. They also propose these stored patterns can actually extend beyond the physical body.
Outside the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into what they describe as a disturbance field or even a trauma field.
Wow. An energy field around the body holding trauma. That's quite a concept.
It is. And it's pretty central to their model. And the sources really highlight this crucial link between these stored patterns, whether physical or in this field, and two key body systems.
Which are?
The autonomic nervous system, you know, controlling stress responses, heart rate, all that automatic stuff.
Okay.
And the fascia system, that intricate web of connective tissue that runs through absolutely everything in the body.
It connects everything. Right. And I guess other trauma therapies touch on this body connection, too.
They do. The sources mention somatic experiencing, for instance. It also emphasizes how the body holds trauma tension, effects of trauma, in the tissues.
And specifically mentions scars, too, I think.
Yes, the significance of scars comes up there as well. It's this shared recognition that the body isn't just a passive container. It's actively recording our history.
And this isn't just theoretical, is it? The sources say it can manifest physically.
Oh, absolutely. They point to things like chronic pelvic torsion, like a persistent twisting in the pelvis, or those really stubborn tension patterns, especially in the lower back, that just don't respond to normal therapy. They suggest these could be physical signs of deeper stuff being held.
So if the body's holding on to these patterns, how does integral psychoorthopedics try to, well, release them? They use an analogy, right? Psycho-oncology.
Yeah, like focusing on the mind-body link in cancer care. The goal with psychoorthopedics, as presented here, is kind of layered. It's about boosting body awareness, helping you actually sense what's going on inside. It's about relaxing the psyche through addressing the physical tension.
Makes sense.
And they suggest it might even stimulate the body's own healing, you know, supporting the immune system, cell regeneration, by freeing up blocked energy, basically. Restoring balance.
So using focused awareness, gentle intervention to shift the physical state.
Exactly.
And there's a specific technique described for working with a painful area like a joint, muscle, or scar.
Yes, there's a core technique. Can walk you through the steps they described.
Please do.
Okay, so first, the person concentrates their attention very specifically on that problem region.
Just focus.
Intense focus. Then a therapist, or even just a supportive partner, approaches the area with one hand.
Okay.
And the instruction is key here. Slowly bring the hand closer, but not necessarily touching initially.
Yeah.
Find the exact distance where the person receiving feels the energy or presence of the hand.
Feels the energy at a distance. That's definitely different.
It is. And the sources suggest this initial step, this sensing at a distance, is really important for starting the release of held emotions and tension.
Why at a distance, do they say? Is it about that field you mentioned?
They imply it accesses that energetic layer, that disturbance field, before engaging the physical tissue directly. Maybe allows a gentler initial release that direct touch might overwhelm.
Interesting. Okay, so after sensing the hand at a distance,
then the person places their own hand on the area.
Yeah.
And guides their attention deeper into the actual physical structure.
Right into the tissue.
Yeah. And they suggest maybe looking at anatomical diagrams beforehand. Practical advice helps you visualize the bone, the muscle, the fascia you're focusing on.
So moving from sensing the external feel to focusing inside.
Exactly. And the crucial element here is feeling, imagining, and establishing an emotional connection with that part of your body.
Not just observing it clinically.
No, relating to it, maybe with kindness, curiosity. And from that point, there are options. You could just stay quietly and lovingly present with the area, hand on it.
Just being with it.
Or you can use imagination more actively. Well, you might imagine something like an infrared heater coming from your hand, gently pushing the tissue, maybe a scar, in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to linger with your focus and that gentle energetic push in the direction that feels easiest, the direction that feels free or less stuck.
Following the path of least resistance, almost.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could imagine specific healing happening, repair being stimulated, maybe pain-causing substances being cleared out.
Visualizing the healing.
Exactly. And if you can manage it, they also suggest relaxing your navel with your other hand at the same time, connecting back to that central point they emphasized.
The navel seems important.
Very. And the therapist or partner can also provide gentle physical support, maybe just holding the person lightly during this whole process.
It sounds like a very gentle, intentional process, blending physical focus with mental and emotional engagement.
That's the gist of it.
Now, shifting a bit, how does this connect to the integral trauma therapy side of things? You mentioned navigating that trauma field and the fascia system more broadly.
Right. This builds directly on that premise, that trauma is stored not just physically, but also energetically in this proposed field.
Oh.
And again, the navel and scars are highlighted. They're seen as potential focal points, places that can hold these traumatic overloads, burdening the whole system, body and psyche.
Got it. The sources mention something called the integral stress test. What's that about?
So the integral stress test, as they describe it, is a way to figure out where these issues might be primarily held, that pelvic torsion we talked about.
Interesting, yeah.
They see that as a sign of autonomic rigidity, like the nervous system is stuck in stress or defense mode.
Right.
The key part of the test is seeing what happens to that twist when you gently touch the navel, or maybe another suspected disturbance source, like a significant scar.
Okay, so you touch the spot and see if the pelvis untwists.
Exactly. And what does it mean if it doesn't relax, if the torsion stays put when you touch those areas?
According to these sources, if that pelvic twist fails to release when you touch the navel or another potential spot, it indicates the traumatic stress isn't just physical tension. It's specifically stored in the body's energy field.
Wow.
That failure to release points, they say, to an emotional regulatory disturbance linked to that field. It's a physical test hinting at an energetic root.
Okay, so the pelvic twist is the marker. Its reaction tells you if the issue is maybe in this external field. So then how do you actually work with that trauma field?
This is where the technique gets really specific. And again, it involves distance and that subtle sensing. The therapist's hand slowly approaches the affected area of the body.
Getting close.
Getting close, maybe not even touching, until the therapist senses a slight tension or the patient feels something, a subtle pressure, maybe unpleasant, maybe other symptoms pop up.
Okay.
The critical step, this stress, is precisely locating the boundary of this energy field, the exact point where that sensation starts or changes.
The edge of the field. And what happens there at that boundary?
Apparently, if a person is standing, they might actually feel a subtle physical push or pull right at that boundary, like being gently pushed away or drawn in.
No.
And the release work, according to these sources, is done just outside this boundary.
Outside, not inside.
Right. The therapist holds their hand slightly angled right there in space, just beyond that felt edge.
Okay, so working around the body in the space, why outside the boundary, though?
The idea seems to be that holding the hand just outside and slightly angled allows the field to kind of open or release without overwhelming the system. Pushing into the field might be too much, too fast.
Makes sense, like easing pressure gradually.
And they claim the size of this field is a direct measure of its relevance, the scope of the stored trauma.
How big are we talking?
This is one of the most surprising details in the sources. They say it can vary hugely, from just an arm's length up to over 10 meters away from the body.
10 meters, that's enormous, holding trauma energy that far out.
It's a really striking claim. And what happens when this boundary is opened in the way they describe?
According to the sources, when that field boundary is located precisely and opened with the therapist's hand held just outside, unprocessed, repressed emotions are released.
Just like that?
Just like that. And they state very clearly immediately afterwards that pelvic twisting always releases too.
Always.
Always. Serving as a consistent physical sign that the autonomic nervous system has shifted out of that stress state. Vegetative relaxation.
That immediate physical shift tied to the energetic release, that's a powerful indicator they're pointing to.
It's presented as absolutely key in their model. And the duration of that pelvic relaxation, that scene is another clue about how significant that particular field was.
Okay.
And if the pelvic torsion comes back later.
What then?
It suggests the field, which is now smaller, needs a bit more energetic release. But interestingly, they note this follow-up release can often be done by the patient themselves.
How?
Just by cupping the affected area with their own hands. It suggests the body system is starting to regain its ability to self-regulate.
That's hopeful.
Yeah. And they also propose that releasing a major trauma field can sometimes spontaneously resolve other smaller issues elsewhere in the body, like chronic jaw tension or tension in a scar.
Like clearing the main logjam lets the smaller streams flow again.
Exactly. It shows the body's regulatory capacity coming back online, trickling down.
And this brings us back to the navel again.
Yes, they really emphasize the navel, calling it the heart of fascial integration, a central hub where that whole fascial web and the autonomic nervous system connect deeply.
Right.
They even reference Elmas's work, suggesting the navel area might hold the energetic trace of a kind of primal trauma of disconnection.
Wow.
So the fundamental ideas across all these techniques dissolving these trauma equivalents held in the navel, in scars, in the fascia, and in that external field.
It's all about releasing rigidity.
Exactly. Releasing that deep chronic rigidity in the autonomic nervous system and a fascia. They describe it like opening an emotional basement door that the system has been working hard to keep shut.
Using up a lot of energy.
Tremendous energy. And freeing that up, they claim, restores the system's ability to, well, vibrate freely, to respond flexibly to life without constantly defaulting to stress or defense.
Makes sense. The sources also mention something called an affect bridge.
Yeah, that's another fascinating detail, suggesting a really sensitive therapist might actually sense specific things about the original trauma, like the atmosphere or how old the patient was.
Just from touching a relevant scar.
Just from touching a relevant scar or tuning into that field, it points to the level of specific information they believe is held in the body and its energy.
So for the therapist doing this work, what's important?
The sources really stress a few things. A mindful, loving presence is vital, allowing enough time for things to unfold energetically.
Patience.
Definitely. And crucially, sensing how much release the patient's system is actually ready for in that moment.
Not pushing too hard.
Right. They use terms like titration and penduluming, borrowed from somatic experiencing. Working in small, manageable doses, carefully tracking the person's capacity, especially with severe trauma. It has to be gentle.
Guiding a safe release, not forcing it.
Absolutely. And using positive resources is important too. Like connecting to the navel as a grounding point, a source of strength.
And helping the person stay present.
Yes, helping them return to the here and now if the physical or emotional reactions feel too intense.
Are there any cautions mentioned?
They do add some notes. While sensitivity helps, they say extensive prior bodywork experience isn't strictly required for these specific techniques.
Okay.
However, they strongly advise against using these methods with patients who have severe psychological conditions, like borderline personality disorder, unless the therapist has significant professional experience and is very careful about who they work with this way.
Right. Important boundaries. And what about the therapist's own well-being?
Oh, that's presented as absolutely essential. Because of resonance, the therapist's own system potentially vibrating or reacting unconsciously to the patient's released energy.
The therapist can get affected too.
Yes, their own system can get strained. So the recommendation is for therapists to use these integration techniques on themselves, daily, or right after intense sessions.
Self-care is crucial.
Especially focusing on navel throat integration and doing this aura release technique on themselves. The goal is to clear out any resonant energy, stay balanced, be a clear instrument for the patient.
Okay, so bringing this all back for you listening, these ideas from integral psychopedics and trauma therapy, they really offer a different lens, don't they?
A really different way to look at those persistent physical pains or chronic stress patterns or those emotional blocks you might feel.
Understanding this potential as these sources propose it, that your body and maybe even its energetic field are actively holding on to your past.
It could open up totally new ways for you to think about your own healing journey, your own integration.
Yeah, and the sources suggest that even simple things you can do yourself, like just regularly focusing your attention on your body's center, on your navel.
That alone can offer benefits. Better body awareness, maybe a greater sense of well-being. It hints that starting to work with this connection doesn't have to be hugely complicated.
Small steps can make a difference.
Seems so.
So we've really dived into this compelling idea. The body as a kind of living archive of our experiences.
And that fascinating, maybe counterintuitive concept of a trauma field existing outside the physical form.
Plus, the specific gentle body-focused techniques these sources describe, working with tissues directly, but also with that energetic boundary.
This material definitely puts forward a strong case that our bodies hold secrets, hold wisdom that maybe we're only just beginning to tap into.
So here's a thought to leave you with. What might it mean for your health, your vitality, your emotional freedom? If unresolved experiences really are locked away, not just in your mind, but in your physical tissues, and maybe even in that energetic field around you.
And what if simple, gentle, focused attention, or maybe even these specific techniques, working with distance and boundaries, could be a key to unlocking that trapped energy?
It's definitely a powerful question to sit with.